email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Chill, The Cold Water Swim Cure is a book by Mark Harper, MD, PhD. Mark is in a London studio. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Ray. Thanks for having me on. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I'm just going to tell people to pull them in that in the book, you outline how cold water swimming has helped Kirsty with seasonal adjusted depression, Sarah with depression, Beth with migraine, Laura with fibromyalgia, Rob with Crohn, and Grant with chronic pain. So all of these stories are in the book. I just need to pull people in because a lot of people think cold water swimming isn't for them. Have you found that, Mark?
I find it less and less. There are still people who do think it's not for them, but then they're persuaded, usually by a friend rather than me, sometimes by me, to go in, and they find actually maybe after all it is for them.
You didn't have a eureka moment. It was more a that's funny moment. What happened?
Well, that's it. There's probably a few sort of scattered over the years, but my first one was the first time I'd really done a proper swim in the sea, where I just planned to go for a short swim. I didn't plan to carry on doing it for 20 years. I just went probably a kilometer, came back, walked up the beach afterwards and thought, wow, this is a bit weird. It feels so good. I just wasn't expecting that.
And you described that feeling as euphoria.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it is. It really feels like a total body high, I think.
Yeah. Now you're you specialise in anaesthetising people, so you're an anaesthetist, which is difficult to say, particularly if you're very cold. There's a thing in surgery after people go under an anaesthetic where their body temperature drops. So part of your initial research was about this. Explain that to us.
Well, this is quite important with regard to the cold water swimming as well. So basically, all your temperature regulation mechanisms get turned off when you have an anaesthetic.
Right.
And so the normal things that keep you warm, the normal reactions that keep you warm, stop working. And when you become hypothermic during surgery, as basically you inevitably do, you are more at risk of complications. And this is relevant when you get in the sea. One of the things is you want to avoid hypothermia. It's really important because hypothermia is always bad for you. You get in, you expose yourself to the cold, and that you get that high, and that's what I'm writing about in the book. But you don't want to stay in too long, because if you stay in too long, you become hypothermic and you start getting complications, like being injured rather than overdoing it in the gym and injuring yourself.
But it's sort of an aside, but it's an interesting aside. I'm sort of building up your CV here, Mark, so that people know that you're a serious man and you have all the science to back you up. So you thought, and you still think, although there's no real, you think that if people were to, for example, before surgery, do cold water swimming, that it would prepare them better for surgery. That's one of your theories, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Because one of our jobs, apart from to keep people warm and reduce complications, is that there are other jobs as an anaesthetist you can do to reduce the level of complications, and that's by reducing the stress response. Because, you know, surgery is really stressful on the body, and although with a good anaesthetic, you're not going to feel it, you're not going to remember it, at the end of it, you know, your body is still reacting as if it's super stressed. And what you want to do is get that stress response just down to where you want it, rather than this overexcitable stress response. And by getting used to swimming in the cold water, which is a stress response, you attenuate that stress response, and then you just get the good bits of it rather than all the bad bits.
Hormesis, which we'll come to, but let's start now. What happens to your body? Because it affects your body and your brain, but let's start with the body first. What happens to your body when you go into cold water?
You immediately get lots of hormones released, all kinds of stuff. Most predominantly, it's that stuff like adrenaline and its relation, noradrenaline. What this does is it shuts off all the blood vessels to the skin, because that's how you lose your heat. It wants to keep all that heat inside you. And as a consequence of shutting off all those blood vessels and putting all that blood inside, it puts up your blood pressure, and, you know, as I said, it's a stressful experience, so your heart rate goes up, you know, your sympathetic fight flight response just kicks in, basically.
So initially, it's a bad thing.
That's right. It's a stressful thing, should we say, rather than necessarily a bad thing.
Okay. And then you regulate your temperature, you regulate your breathing. That's what happens, is it?
Yeah. So initially, as you get in, if you're not used to it, it all changes as you adapt to the cold. And that, you know, by the cold, by the way, I just mean less than 20 degrees centigrade. Mm. And, you know, to adapt, it takes like 5 or 6 times in that kind of temperature. But when you first go in and you're not used to it, you hyperventilate, you take a big gasp. And this is literally the killer, because if you take a big gasp, your head goes under a wave. That's a lung full of 2.5 litres of water, which is not really very compatible with breathing. And then eventually, after a little while, your breathing comes under control again. And then, but as you get used to it, you know, you don't have that initial response.
Okay. So there is research to suggest that this little bit of stress, this sort of dart of stress that we get when we enter cold water, does all sorts of beneficial things to our body.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, you mentioned the term hormesis, and it's like everything. You know, we go to the gym to work out our muscles, and it's the micro tears in the muscles which make them build up and become stronger. But if you overdo it, you know, you get an injury. And it's the same going into that cold water. It gives you this micro stress, and what that does, I mean, I think most importantly, most significantly really, is the way it reduces your inflammatory response. I mean, inflammation is this, you know, it's a natural reaction. It protects us from injury, from bacterial invasion and things like this. But again, you don't want too much of it. When you have too much of it, you get all kinds of lifestyle illnesses, high blood pressure, heart problems, migraine, things like this. And so you want to get that down again to this good physiological zone rather than having it out in that bad pathological zone.
Okay. So does regular immersion in cold water reduce inflammation?
Yes, and it does it by two ways, actually. One is a kind of a long-term effect. So as you get adapt to the cold water, and that's the 5 or 6 times water less than 20 degrees centigrade, and that reduces your baseline levels, and it also reduces your peak level. So when you it applies to other levels of stress in life, and so you sort of, again, you come back to that green physiological zone. But it also has an immediate effect when you actually put your face in the water, and this is called the diving reflex, and it's what babies get. It's why you throw a baby in water. And obviously not from too high, but you throw a baby in water, you know, they won't breathe, and they're perfectly safe because it stimulates your parasympathetic rest digest nervous system. And even in adults, this has a direct effect on the nervous system and reduces inflammation. So every time, okay, again, you put your face in it, you know, it's having a beneficial effect.
Okay, so that's the body working. So mood, because In your chill therapy sessions, you have used entering cold water, and it doesn't have to be the sea, it can be a pond or a river or whatever. You've used that to treat depression and anxiety. So what do we know about how it affects how we think?
Well, to go back to the physiology very briefly, it's the inflammation. Yeah, this is one of my other that's funny moments, was when I read an article in the newspaper about how inflammation was linked to depression. And I knew how good I felt not being depressed, having a swim in cold water. I thought, well, that's interesting. So I feel good, and you reduce inflammation with cold water swimming. Maybe we could treat depression with cold water swimming. So that's the kind of physiological basis. But I think it's much more than that. Because apart from anything else, you get in and you just feel so good when you, yeah, you know, it's just it's that feeling of elation, it's that feeling of euphoria that's good for you. And also, the way to do cold water swimming is it has an effect on, you know, you have blue therapy, you're just seeing the sea, seeing moving water is good for us. green therapy, being out in nature. And it should really be done in a group, and generally it is, and generally it's a lot more fun if you do it in a group. And that reduces social isolation, which is yet another way of making us feel good.
Yeah, so there's loads going on there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's a complete package of benefits all sort of rolled into one easily accessible kind of
thing. Let's separate some of them. Like, it's sort of mindfulness on steroids. I'm reading it because one of the expressions in the book is you get people into their bodies and out of their heads. And we hear over and over again that sometimes when we live too much in our heads, that can lead to anxiety and depression. I see one of the stories is somebody who's treated for childhood trauma. And we hear again and again about trauma. People then use various things to get out of their heads, like, you know, drink and drugs. And cold water swimming can take the place of those, or can it?
I think it can. And you know, this is what we find is because you get a natural high. I mean, as I write about in the book, Sarah, who had depression, she was our first patient, and she was... It came to us through Chris Van Tulliken, TV doctor, and you know, the first time we got to treat this kind of thing. And she came, and then so Chris hadn't swum before, and he said to me straight after he'd been in the water, he said, "Look, if this was a drug, they'd make it illegal." And I also know of people who've struggled with addiction who have come to cold water swimming and said, "God, yeah, this is the fix I need. I don't need those drugs. I can just have the cold water." But the great thing is, if you put something external into the body, like cocaine or something like that, which also produces adrenaline and noradrenaline, the body doesn't know how to handle it because it's kind of this extra weight of stuff coming in.
It's poison. Whereas it's damage. It's a poison.
Yeah, it's poison. Yeah. It's too much. Yeah, yeah. Too much of anything's bad for you. Whereas if you're... just, you know, your body's generating this adrenaline and noradrenaline, it has its own control mechanisms, so it doesn't overdo it.
Of course, our ancestors wouldn't have heated showers or anything like that. They would have been bathing in cold water all the time. There was sort of a built-in to their day. There was a built-in cold water bathing sort of pattern.
Yeah, and I think in a way they've kind of, it's more the fact that they didn't have that warmth, and that warmth, you know, that
easy life
that we have. Yeah, that's kind of the issue. It's having that daily small hormetic challenge.
And what about pain killing? Because Grant was a surfer. He damaged his back, suffered with chronic pain, and I know that's a big issue with a lot of people, chronic pain. And you write brilliantly and accessibly about pain and what pain actually is. And you also talk about how Grant didn't cure himself, but his life is a lot better as a result of getting into the sea.
Yeah, I mean, Grant's a really interesting case because he sort of sums up the whole issue with pain. Yeah, because I remember him saying to me, "You know, pain is a lonely place." And the reason he came to cold water swimming was because he was just so fed up with it. He was so depressed. He said, "Oh, look, I've just give up. I just want to go to my GP, get some antidepressants, you know, get a referral to the chronic pain clinic." But then he saw something that we'd done on the local TV for the first lot of people who'd gone through the chill courses. And he said, "Okay, I'm going to give that a go." And so he came along for his depression. But what he found was that it helped the pain. And again, as you say, it's important. I know it's called the cold water cure, but yeah, really it's the cold water getting better. And what it does is it seems to take people from area of non-functional to functional. And this is it. And this is, you know, so Grant feels he can now function normally where he was really struggling before.
Is it distraction? I'm just wondering, is it as simple as that? I'm just, you know, because when you're, you know, when you get into the sea and it's that cold, you can't think of anything else because you're distracted because you're so cold. So it distracts you from, do you know the way as kids we were told if we had a pain to rub our temples or to pinch ourselves or whatever, so that, you know, the brain is distracted from the whatever pain to something else. Is it?
I mean, yes, it is. But that distraction only lasts as long as the distraction lasts, whereas the effect of the cold water seems to go on later. Mm-hmm. And there's an interesting, I also write about Jill Bolt Taylor in the book, you know, with this American neurologist who had a
stroke.
Yeah. And then, you know, which was bleeding into the left side of the brain. It took her out of the left side of the brain and, you know, just into the right. The left is pain, it's fear, actually probably not pain, but fear, time, all our worries, whereas the right is euphoria, being in the moment and things like this. And so I think, certainly this is my experience, as she found that shift to the right, as she calls it, is a really positive thing and part of the euphoria, and that is what lasts afterwards. So you shift your out of the left, out of your fears, out of all that rubbish going on in your head, and shift it into the right side of the brain, and that has a, you know, that keeps you going through the day after the distraction has finished.
You say it's part of lifestyle medicine and it should be a public health measure. How are you doing with that campaign?
It's early days yet, but I think we are getting there. I mean, just last week, I was sat on an all-party parliamentary group in the Houses of Parliament in London, and there, they, you know, there's a group now being set up for swimming brackets. Was it outdoor and wild, I think, is the closed brackets thing. So, you know, it's there to promote, you know, find what we can do to make it more accessible. Mm-hmm. I'm also going to, I've done an online presentation to the Scottish Parliament about introducing it as a public health measure, and I should be going up there in May to give an in-person seminar, and I'm also talking to the British Society of Lifestyle Medicine later in the year.
It's difficult enough because you say in the book, you say that the transformative effect of cold water swimming is beyond the reach of neuroscience. So we don't know what's going on in the brain. You think that it might be a sort of a, like get given a defibrillator to the brain, some sort of shock that reorganizes it.
Yeah, I think that's it. It does. Yeah, again, you know, I can't explain much further because, as you say, you know, some things we just can't understand, but it's such a shock. It just reboots everything. It's like a hard reboot of your hard drive.
Okay. For people listening, Mark, you've been doing it for 20 years. You have the research. You know it works. You've been in the company of people who've not recovered, but definitely improved their lives with fibromyalgia, Crohn's disease, migraine, chronic pain. So you've seen how it works. But as I said at the start, a lot of people go, it's not for me, it's not for me. What do you say to people when you meet them and they go, it's not for me?
I say, well, if it's not for you, yeah.
No,
I'm not evangelist, but if I don't think it's not for me and I would consider doing it, then I say, well, look, just start in the summer. I think this is the key thing.
Yeah.
Start in the summer when the water is warmest, and then do it with people. Find a group, because there's a lot of this stuff about, and I think a lot of people don't think it's for them because they say, oh, it's just pain, you know, but it's not about pushing through the pain to stretch your limits at all. And it's just about having fun and just going in for a little bit. So you start with a group of people, and you've got to stay in long enough that you get over that initial shock. Getting straight out again doesn't work, you know. But it only takes a minute or two, and is what I like to use the phrase, recombobulate after you've been in. And then you can get out. And then you've done it. You've done most of the good. And you've got to do it 3, 4, 5, 6 times. And if you're not feeling it after that, you're never going to feel it. But in my experience, most people are by that stage.
Yeah, and you have tips, set a place and time, find a friend, get appropriate equipment. And then you've 6 rules. Always know how you're getting out of the water. Warm up before you get in. Put your body in before you put your head in. Focus on breathing. Get out, get dry, get warm. Swim with somebody. So they're all there. All the from a man who has years of experience in talking to people and doing it himself. You'd be a different person if you didn't swim in cold water, Mark?
Yeah, totally. I think it's one of my colleagues once said to me, oh, you're very zen. And I'm sure it's down to the cold water. It just, you know, we talk about that shift to the right. I'm sure that these days it's had a long-term effect. So it has that immediate effect where you just sort of, you know, the cares of the world sort of kind of disappear for a bit. Mm. But I think over the years it's shifted my whole being to sort of something more to the right. I just less grumpy, less irritated about things. Yeah, that kind
is
of
that
stuff.
Just is that just mellowing as you get older?
Yeah, okay, it might be just getting older.
No, but there is good news for people who do it during the summer and only during the summer, because the effects can last for 14 months afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so when you do it during the summer, you're still getting the whole effect, really. Mm. So that's one thing. And as you say, that adaptation lasts, you know, 60% of that adaptation you can still measure 14 months later. Mm. So, you know, you will be having a long-term effect. Of course, if you go in, you get that extra effect from putting your face in the water, but maybe just put it in a bowl of iced water, I don't know.
I'm intrigued. It's not in the book, but I'm wondering, did you look into the history of it, like way back? Because I have this theory that we're mismatched with our environment, you know, that we are too warm and too cozy, and we don't get out of our comfort zone, and we don't have that hormesis on a regular basis. We have to go and find it. But our ancestors would have had all those little stresses. Now, they didn't live as long as we did, but they didn't have the help of medical science.
Yeah, I agree with you. In fact, I have a friend of mine who's literally one of the cleverest people in the world, was telling me that in ancient time. Yeah, people lived. Yeah, there's one group. People were living to 97, and so, you know, if you survived trauma or, you know, fighting or whatever, so, you know, the longevity has been around for a long time, and I think it is, as you say, we have too comfortable an environment.
Yeah.
And, you know, the cold water, I mean, you know, Hippocrates talked about it, the father of medicine from ancient Greece, and, you know, more close to home, you know, I come from Brighton, this guy Richard Russell, who just 200 or 300 years ago was writing about it. And interesting, what he was doing, his seawater cure, was often for the rich people. So those ones who were beginning to be, beginning to have those comforts, beginning to be too pampered. And they would go away and he'd put them in the sea. He'd also make them drink seawater, which I thoroughly do not recommend, and give them,
by way of
make them sick and stuff. Yeah, yeah. But by way of treatment. Yeah. And his descriptions are the kind of the transformation that you see in people before and after. Yeah, before and after.
Mark, will you stay with us? Because we've a number of questions from our listeners. So we have to take a quick commercial break and then we'll come back to you. We're talking to Mark Harper, MD. His book is Chill, The Cold Water Swim Cure. And we'll talk to Mark more after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Mark Harper is the author of Chill, The Cold Water Swim Cure. Mark, we'll get through a few of our listeners' questions then, if it's okay with you. A lot of people are asking if a cold bath or a cold shower has the same effect.
No, but it does have an effect. Basically, the two things that give the response. One is how quickly you get cold, and two is how cold the water is. So you don't get quite as much from the cold shower. It's just not as cold. And a cold bath would be better because you get colder in it. But there is one study which shows that they've got half the office workers to have a cold shower, half in the office not to. And those who had the cold shower had less sick days afterwards. Uh-huh. So it does have an effect.
I had two cold showers over the weekend in preparation for our chat. I found them exhilarating, I have to say, because I get into the sea during the summer, but I don't during the winter. But I think it's something I'm going to, you know, include in my regime from now on. It felt good. These are more. Let's see. If you don't know, yeah, that's that. Just wondering if you could put this to Mark. I suffer from hyperhidrosis, excessive sweating, and I've noticed since sea swimming it has improved. Does he think it's down to the sea swimming?
That's a really interesting one. That's not one I've come across before. It could be, but I couldn't say definitively. Again, you know, hyperhidrosis, the mechanism behind it suggests that a reduction in the sympathetic drive, which you get with adaptation to cold water could be a mechanism for it. That's really interesting.
I can hear the machinations of your brain there, Mark. You're going to go off and research that. I swim in the sea every day. It has helped me so much with chronic pain. I've also witnessed the social effect it has had on the people I swim with, many of them very shy in the beginning and now happy and confident with the swim group. So that's a comment. Will you ask your guest how someone with Raynaud's, is that how you pronounce it, R-A-Y-N-A-U-D-S, can cope with cold water swimming? I have this condition for years in my hands. Even in warm weather, my hands go numb and the blood drains out of them. It's so painful, particularly when blood starts to flow back into my fingers. Otherwise, very fit and healthy. I've invested in a really good wetsuit, gloves and a hat, but it's of no benefit.
Yeah, Raynaud's, it's a difficult one, you know, and most people, I mean, that sounds like a really bad Raynaud's, but most people with Raynaud's, with less mild versions of it, actually don't find it matters too much, or, you know, it gets no worse. Or a lot of people have actually said to me that they have found it gets better.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe thicker gloves. Can people with heart arrhythmia do cold water swimming?
They can, but they have to be careful, is the thing. And this is one of the things you don't want to get. This is one why it's important to get the body in first, then the face in afterwards, because the body has this sympathetic effect, which makes the heart beat faster, and the face has this parasympathetic effect, which makes the heart beat slower. So you need to be just careful that you don't sort of put the two in conflict, but it doesn't stop you from going in the sea. And again, follow those simple rules, do it safely, don't push the limits, get in, have a laugh, come out.
Yeah. Ray and Mark, does cold water swimming help long COVID? I've had long COVID for over 2 years, suffering with breathing difficulties, tachycardia, palpitations and fatigue. Thanks. I suppose there's no research been done on that, has there?
There's not a lot of research, but there are anecdotal cases. There's certainly a couple been reported by the BBC. And the thing is, COVID is a disease of inflammation. It's not a cold, it's not respiratory or anything like that. It's about inflammation. And by reducing the inflammation that you get by going in the cold water, theoretically, yes, it could be good. But of course, there can be long-term damage to the organs. So I don't know quite how it fits in, but I think it really has potential to help.
Okay.
People.
I love swimming in the cold water and want to do much more of it. Problem is, if I step into water that is even mildly cold, I get excruciating pain in my feet and ankles that doesn't go away until I get out. I tried acclimatizing, but it hadn't worked. Help, please. I'm an ultra athlete with a resting heart rate of 48. I'm 58. Do you get all that stats there? He's 58 years old.
Yes. Yeah.
So he's very fit, resting heart rate of 48.
I do. I find that people have very different reactions to cold water. Yeah, for me, it's my hands and feet that get really cold. One of my colleagues, he gets cold thighs. Never had an issue with that. So it's obviously a very acute reaction to the feet. I think the only way, the cold is bad. Don't try and acclimatise. Just wear some really thick, good boots. That's what I would do.
Yeah. I can highly recommend your book, Mark Harper, MD, PhD, Chill, the Cold Water Swim Cure. If you've been flirting with the idea of getting into cold water, or indeed if you do it on a regular basis, this is the book for you. It's all in there. The science behind it, the advice and the stories of how cold water swimming has changed people's lives. Mark, before you go, we were doing puns earlier on. Last night, Ray, I dreamt I was swimming in an ocean of fizzy orange, but it was just a fantasy.
Very good.
See you, Mark. Good luck.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye. Aileen Hogan. How are you doing, Aileen? Break. We're doing a break first and then Aileen. Okay.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.